The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perek, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Shabbat Tavkut Tez Zayin Omid Beis. Today we're going to start with a story, a Maisa Shehoya in a men's mikveh, where people noticed that things were disappearing from people's pockets in the changing room of the mikveh. And they realized that one of the people who was attending the mikveh was stealing from other people when they weren't looking. And suspicion began to fall on a particular individual. And the people responsible for the mikveh began to suspect that this particular individual was the one who was stealing the things from other people's pockets. So they decided to test him out. So they took a number of notes, of bank notes, and they wrote on them a certain simon, and they put it inside the pocket of a jacket, which they hang on the hook right next to this person when he walked into the mikveh. And they left the money sticking a little bit out of the pocket. Sure enough, this person, when he thought no one was looking, grabbed the money out of the pocket of the jacket hanging next to him and put it in his own pocket. When he was confronted afterwards, he of course denied everything, but when they searched his pockets and pulled out the banknotes which had the simon on it which indicated that they had been stolen, he finally confessed that he had been the thief, and he confessed to the previous ganavers and had to pay back the money that he stole. But the question that was asked from a halachic point of view was this permitted practice to deliberately leave money in a place which entices the potential gunner to steal the money? Surely this should be a problem of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. The Torah says it's forbidden to put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. And Chazal learned from that that not only in the literal sense is it forbidden, but it's forbidden to cause somebody else to do an avera and to go against the Torah as well. In the classic example, if a nazir who is not allowed to drink wine asks for a cup of wine and you pass it to him, you are over on Isra of Lifnei Iver or Sitan Michshol, because you are providing a stumbling block for this nazir by giving him the opportunity to be over to transgress his vow of naziris and to drink wine. And therefore the question is asked, in our case, when we want to catch the gunner from the mikveh, are we allowed to set a trap for him, or is there a problem of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol? So a similar but slightly different question was posed to the Tzuridei Eish, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, in Chelik Aleph Simon Nun Zayin. There the question was, an employer who'd hired a new employee, and he wanted to test the new employee to see if he was honest. So he wanted to put some money lying around in an open place in the office and see if the new employee would return the money to the rightful place or whether he would slip the money into his pocket and steal it. So he also discussed this question of if they ever sit in Michshol. Says the Tzuridei Eish, perhaps we could get around the problem by simply being moichel the money in advance, foregoing any claim to the money which we're leaving as the trap for the potential thief, and that way, even though he thinks he's stealing, in fact he won't be stealing because the owner of the money has already been moichel the money. The trouble with this is that there is a tesis in Kiddushin that implies that that's not good enough. The Gemara in Kiddushin, that long based on Aleph, tells a story about Rav Huna who wanted to test his son Rabba to see if he would get angry. So he took a valuable garment, and he tore it along the seam, so it shouldn't be Bal Tashkish, and it could be repaired again. And he wanted to see if his son would get angry. So the Gemara says, but if his son would have got angry, he might have been over on Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol, because he might have been disrespectful to his father in his anger, and that would be over the Isra of Kibud Avein. So the Gemara asks, how could Rav Huna enter the possibility of causing his son to be over on Kibud Avein? Surely Rav Huna would be over the Isra of Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol. Answers the Gemara, the Mocha Leili Yikarei, that Rav Huna was Meichel in advance, it's covered. And we know that Mochel is the Avshe, Mochel HaKavodah, Kavodah Mochel. A father can forego his honor if he wants to. So in this case, Rav Huna was Mochel is covered in advance. Tosafos then points out that he must have told his son that I'm mokel my kovet in advance, because if not so, even though he would have actually been mokel his kovet, his son would not have known that, and had his son got angry and said a sharp word against his father, although he wouldn't be over the issur of kibud av, because his father was mokel in advance, and av shemokel kvodo mokel, but nonetheless, the son would require kapora, because the Gemara says in Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis that someone who was miskaven lechol basar chazir, the person who intended to eat something which was not kosher, but he actually ended up eating basar tleh, food which was kosher. He didn't realize it. He thought it was not kosher, and he deliberately ate it, even though he actually didn't do enough error because he actually ate something which was kosher. Nonetheless, requires a kapora. He requires atonement because he intended to do an aveira even though it didn't work out. If that's the case, says Tosfos, even if Rav Huna was mocha on his kovod, nonetheless, had he caused his son to be pogea and kibud av, even though it wasn't actually an aveira because he was mocha in advance, if he doesn't tell his son that he's mocha, and his son thinks that he wasn't mocha, then his son will actually be doing an action which he thinks is an aveira, even though it might not be, would still require a kapara, and even on such a thing, says Tosfos, there would be an issur of lifnei iver. So you see, says Rav Weinberg, according to Tosfos, it wouldn't help in our case to be mochel the money in advance and then set it as a trap for the ganav, because even though the ganav won't be over on the issur of stealing, since you were mochel the money in advance, nonetheless, since he thinks he's stealing, he will be over on the issur of intending to do an aveira, just like the person who intended to eat chazir and ate tleh instead, who needs a kapara. And even on such a halacha, Tosfos in Kiddushin says that there would be a problem with the iver of sitimachon, as we just mentioned. So what can we do? Is there any way we can find to be mutter to set the trap for this employee to see whether he is faithful or not? The Pilpul Chariftin Bon Metzia, Daf Ayin Hei, notes the Gemara which says you're not allowed to lend money to somebody without two Aidim being present. And the reason is, says the Gemara, that you're giving him the opportunity to deny the loan at a later date. And there'll be a problem if they either sit in Mitchell. You're presenting with the opportunity to do an aveira. So the people who come to ask, why is it that nowadays most of us ignore this? We do lend people, even not in the presence of two aidim. So the people who come to wants to say the reason is because there's only an issue of lifnei iver if the time you put the stumbling block in front of him, so to speak, he will immediately fall. So when you present him with the opportunity to do an aveira, he'll do it immediately. Whereas if only at a later date he will do an aveira, maybe there will be no issue of lifnei iver. And therefore, when you lend him money, he's only given tonight, and a later date there would be no problem with lifnei iver. However, says Rav Weinberg, many Rishonim disagree with this, and the Maram Shif in particular disagrees with this Pilpul Harifta. There's a Lecha Mishnah, however, who questions the whole Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Don't lend someone money unless you do it in the presence of two aidim, because otherwise he might deny the loan afterwards, and you'll be over on the issur of lifnei iver sitei mishnah. So the Lecha Mishnah, what does it help to lend him money with aidim in that case, in front of witnesses? Even someone who lends money in front of witnesses, the borrower does not have to repay the money in front of witnesses, and he's believed to say afterwards, I paid back the money, even if he has no witnesses to the repayment. So how do we solve the problem of giving the opportunity to deny the loan simply by lending in front of witnesses? He can still deny the loan afterwards. The only way he couldn't deny the loan is if he wrote a shtar, a bill of debt, then he couldn't deny it, because if he repaid it, he would have taken back the shtar. But simply to lend in front of aidim surely is not an aid, so it doesn't help. So how can the Gemara say, don't lend him without witnesses because you're over lifnei iver, because he might deny it, but you can lend him in front of aidim and that solves the problem? Surely if you lend him in front of aidim, he can still say afterwards, yes, I received the loan, but I repaid it. And he wouldn't have to prove that, it would be believed. Answer the Lecha Mishnah, the problem is not that we suspect that he's going to deny it deliberately. Otu Birashi, asking them, do we really suspect that every person who borrows money is going to be a thief? On the contrary, everyone has a cheskes kashrus. If you lend money to somebody, there's no reason to assume that he would deliberately deny it. The problem is, though, that he might forget that the loan took place. And then when you ask him for the money afterwards, having forgotten that there was a loan, he would deny it, in his mind, justifiably. And then possibly he would be chayav a shavua in Beis Din, and he will make a shavua sheker, because he doesn't remember the loan, and he genuinely thinks he didn't borrow it. And that's the problem, not that he's deliberately going to lie. but that he might forget about it and end up doing an affair without realizing it. That's the problem with the Lechem Mishneh. In that case, if you lend to him the money in front of two witnesses, you've avoided that problem. Because if he forgets, the two witnesses will remind him that we saw the loan. If that's the case, says the Sri De'esh, we see that Lifnei Iver is not a problem that we're choshish that someone is going to do an Avera, if we've no reason to believe that is that to be choshishim. The reason that we're worried in the case of lending money is he might forget and accidentally do an Avera. That would be a problem in Lifnei Iver. In that case, says the Sri De'esh, L'chora, the employer will be allowed to put out money to see if the employee takes it. Because there's no reason to assume that the employee is actually a Ganav. He's got a Cheskish Kashrut. True, the employer wants to test him nonetheless just to make sure, but there's no reason to assume that he's going to steal it. And in that case, Lechora, since he has a Cheskish Kashrut, there would be no Chashash of Lifnei Iver. However, even if we were to accept the Sri De'esh's answer, that wouldn't help us in our case. That would help in the case of the Sri De'esh's case, where the employer wants to test the new employee who has a Cheskish Kashrut to see if he's honest or not. However, in our case, in the mikvah, we have already suspected a particular individual, and we think that he is indeed a ganef. And this person, in that case, the chora doesn't have a cheskes kashkus. We're not testing him just to see if he's faithful. We're testing him to see if we can confirm that he is, in fact, the ganef who we think he is. In that case, the chora, to put out a trap for him, to set money for him that he might come and steal, the chora would still be a problem of lifnei iver sitei mirshom. So how can we get around that problem? So in order to understand this sugya, it's important to mention several different opinions of the Rishonim regarding the topic of Lifnei Iver. And Lichaora and Aliyastaiti, these Rishonim, although saying different things, are not necessarily disputing or disagreeing with each other. They're all talking about slightly different circumstances, when Lifnei Iver applies and when it doesn't apply. So we'll discuss that and then we'll come back to our Shaila and see how to apply these halachas. So the first thing we need to know is that Tosfos and Avodah Zarah daf Vav Amud Beis. Tosfos there on the Gemara, which says you're not allowed to hand a cup of wine to a Nazir because of Lifnei Iver and Sitei Mirshom, says Tosfos, it's the same applies to any Issur, to give it to somebody if you know he's going to eat it. Says Tosfos, but under normal circumstances, a normal Jewish person who there's no reason to believe is going to be over any Issurim, even if he asks you to pass him something which is not kosher, a piece of nevela, for example, he says, Hoshidli nevela o chazir, you're allowed to give it to him, and you're not over any Issur of Lifnei Iver l'sitei mirshom. Why? Because there's no reason to assume that he's going to eat it, much as the Lechem Mishnah says before. If he's a kosher yid, there's no reason to assume he's going to do an avera. So even if he asks you for the non-kosher food, you don't have to suspect he's actually going to eat it. A nazir too. In theory, if he were to ask you for a cup of wine, you'd be able to give it to him. There's no reason to assume he's going to drink it. Says Tosfos, but a nazir is problematic for a different reason. Since in those days, every meal was accompanied with wine. Wine was a standard drink. It was drunk every day. So it's possible that the Nazir, by asking for the cup of wine, might have slipped his mind that he's taken the vow of Nazirus, and he might drink the wine by mistake, and it's very likely that this is the case, because everybody drinks wine all the time, and this Nazir has asked for a cup of wine. So he might have forgotten that he's a Nazir, then there would be a problem with Lifnei Iver. But if he was a kosher person, says Tosfos, just because he asked for a cup of wine, even if he's a Nazir, there was no reason to assume that he's going to do an Avera. In the case of a Nazir, he might forget, that's why there's a problem with Lifnei Iver. But with anybody else, if you ask for Pritz and Avela, you'd be allowed to give it to him. Obviously, if he's a person who is choshud, we suspect that he's the type of person who would eat non-kosher food, then if he asks for it, you can't give it to him, because there's a chashash he's going to eat it. Certainly, if he said, I want to eat it, give it to me, you wouldn't be allowed to give it to him, because now we know why he wants it. But otherwise, every person has a cheskes kashrus, and there would be no problem of Lifnei Iver to hand to a Jewish person a piece of non-kosher food. That's Tosfos and Avodah Zarah daf Vav Amud Beis. Now, there's an opinion of the Ritva in Avodah Zarah daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, who says, Halacha Halacha. So he says, Mistabreli, that the Issur of Lifnei Iver in the Torah is only an Issur of Vadai, only if for sure you know the person's going to do an Aveira. Till now, we've noted that Tosfos says if there's no reason to assume he's going to do an Avera, there will be no problem with Lifnei Iver. The Ritva says a little more than that. Even if there's a Sofik, he might do an Avera and he might not, says the mitzvah min ha-tayra, there will be no problem of lifnei ifer. It would only be aser if he's going to for sure do an aveira, but not if you're not sure if he's going to do an aveira. And in fact, the Knesset HaGdolah on Urachayim, the end of Urachayim, on Hagos, on the Kesef Mishnah's Hagos, on the Rambam Hilchos Ritzeach, quotes the Chilas Radvaz, it says the same thing. Lifnei ifer is only aser if you know that the person's for sure going to do an Aveira, but if there's a Sofik, then there's no problem in Atoira of Lifnei ifer. However, Shok the Ritva, the Rabbonon did Asa Lifnei ifer, if there's a Reglaim Latova, Lachush Sheyav HaBoizeh Aveira. If you have reason to believe or suspect that the person's going to do an Aveira, then there is a problem of Lifnei ifer, and you wouldn't be able to give it to him, at least mid Rabbonon. Now, in addition to that, we have a Mishnah in Shaviz. The Mishnah in Shaviz is also quoted in Avodah Zarah there. The Mishnah says that Shammai says you're not allowed to give, but Shammai says you're not allowed to give a Parah Chereshes, you're not allowed to sell a Parah Chereshes to somebody in Shemitah. A Parah Chereshes is a cow which is normally used for ploughing. An ox which is used for ploughing, you're not allowed to sell to somebody in Shemitah year who's been suspected of actually using it for ploughing. However, Beis Hillel say you are allowed to, and Halacha, as usual, follows Beis Hillel, you're allowed to sell an ox which normally is used for ploughing to someone who is suspect of not keeping Shemitah, even during the Shemitah year. And says the Gemara, the reason is, says the Beis Hillel, because it could say Shchita Mechar Tivloch. The person who's selling it can say it's possible that although it's normally used for ploughing, this person buying it might actually want it because he wants to shecht it and eat the meat. And therefore there would be no problem giving it to him. So we see from here, so the Rishonim, that there's no problem of lifnei iver, not only if there's a sofik, but if there's a reason to be toilem to say it's possible that the person is going to use it for something which is mutter and not something which is osser, then there's no problem of lifnei iver. However, the Rashba and the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ram, all the Gedolei Rishonim in Gittin, that Tzamach Aleph, Omud Aleph, point out that there is a limitation to this. There, in Gittin, the Mishnah says that a woman is allowed to lend to a neighbor who is suspect on the halachas of Shemitah, a nofal, kfora, the various cooking utensils which are used to help prepare food, even though it's possible that the neighbor, who we suspect doesn't keep the laws of Shemitah, will use it not for the correct purposes and for activities which are forbidden in Shemitah. So the Mishnah, the reason why the Rabbanan allows it is Mipnei Darkei Shalom, a special heter that we want to allow there to be Shalom between neighbors, and therefore you will be allowed to give for one woman to be allowed to lend to another woman these utensils, even as a possibility she might use it for a forbidden activity. Feder Rishonim, what's the difference between that and the case of Beis Hillel, who allow one to sell a Parah Chereshes in Shemitah? And we say there that we are told that the purchaser is probably going to use it or might use it for something which is permitted, and therefore there'll be no problem. Here, in the case of lending from one to the other, the Mishnah says it's only permitted because of Darkei Shalom, because of a special takoma that we want to make Shalom between neighbors. Otherwise, it would be forbidden. Why don't we say here too that we're telling her that she's going to use it as an activity which is permitted? Say all the Rishonim, the answer is that in reality, although we could be Tola and say that the person who's receiving it might use it for a permitted activity, nonetheless, that itself is not enough to permit the Issa of Lifnei Ifer. Because there's a possibility the person might do an Aveira with it. Only if there's a case of Darkei Shalom do we allow it, or alternatively in the case where Paman is selling the Parah Chereshes, because then it's a revach for the person who's selling it. The person who's selling the cow needs to sell it because he wants the money. So since there's already a mukum to be tola and say that the person who's buying it might not necessarily use it for Issa, he might use it for Shechita, which is perfectly permitted, therefore we won't stop the seller from engaging in his business activity and making the money that he wants to make by selling his cow. So, in other words, if there's a case of giving something which is could be used for Issa, or potentially is usually used for Issa, to somebody else who's suspected of doing that Issa, If it can be said that he might be using for something which is mutter, there's a mokum to be toile laheter, then there's no problem of lifnei iver, but there must be at least one other condition. There must be either a svara that he's selling it, and therefore he has his own revach, and therefore he's not, he doesn't have to forgo his revach, since there's a mokum to be toile. Or alternatively, the heter of Darkei Shalom. In the case of the woman lending to a friend, there's no revach for the woman who's lending. Just don't lend. You've got nothing to lose by not lending. But there's a problem with Darkei Shalom, so Chazal allowed it. So in other words, according to all these Rishonim, if there's a mokum of a safek, whether the person's going to use it Issur or Beheter, you can be told that they use it Beheter, as long as you're actually making some benefit yourself by either selling it, or there's an inyan of Darkei Shalom. So those are the Rishonim in Gittit Daf Samach Aleph. In addition to that, there's another opinion of the Ritva in Avodah Zarah and Asamach Gimel on the Aleph. There, the Ritva, who's going on in Gemara, it says that if someone has employees, he has workers, and he has a part of the contract, the employment contract, he has to provide them with their lunch, with their meal, during the middle of the day, of the working day, then he can give them money and tell them to go and buy their own lunch, even though it's possible that they might buy tevel, food which has not had mice taken from it, or other non-kosher food. Says the Ritva, how can that be permitted? Surely there's a problem of lifnei iver. Says the Ritva, there's not a problem of lifnei iver in this case, because you're giving them money. There's nothing wrong with money. Money can be used for good, or it can be used for bad. But the thing you're giving is not something which is offer. It's not like giving a piece of novella to somebody who might eat novella, or giving a cup of wine to another. Giving money to somebody is something which you can use lehet or leisa. Now they might go and use it for the good, they might use it for the bad. That's not a problem of lifnei iver. Now lechore, Lamias 90, the Ritva's not coming to contradict the previous Rishonim which we mentioned a minute ago. Ma'od, the one of those Rishonim we mentioned a minute ago, is the Ritva himself. Those Rishonim and Gittin all say that we only permit a sophic lifnei iver, and we say with Taylor that he's going to use it the heter, only if there's an additional svara of Darkei Shalom, or there's an additional svara of revach to the person who's selling it. In this case, the Ritva Lechore doesn't have to come on for that. Why? Because in those cases, you're selling a poro chereshes. The article itself is normally used for being chorish, to be plowing shmitah, which is a forbidden activity. With toilet that he's going to shecht it. In that case, you need an additional svara of revach to the person who's selling, or of Darkei Shalom. But in this case, the object you give to him is something which is perfectly mutter. If it's perfectly mutter, the chorish, there's nothing wrong with, as a result of that, he might come to do something awesome. There will be no problem with lifnei iver at all. You wouldn't have to come up as far of revach to the person who gives it, or of Darkei Shalom. In a similar manner, lechora, if a person wants to sell a car, for example, to a non-food person, who's almost certainly going to drive it on Shabbos. Well, if you sell it a minute before Shabbos, lechora, that would be awesome, because he's not going to drive off on Shabbos, and that's proper lifnei iver. But if you sell it to him on Sunday, he's going to drive in the car the whole week, and then almost certainly he's going to drive in it on Shabbos as well. But if we extrapolate a little bit the Ritva's logic, lechore, there will be no problem with lifnei iver. The object you gave to him is something which is mutter. There's nothing wrong with a car. And he's certainly at the beginning going to use it for a mutter dika activity. True, after that, by the end of the week, he might use it for an offer activity as well. Even if he's going to certainly use it for an offer activity as well, lechore, that's not a problem with lifnei iver. What the Ritva means to say is, lifnei iver doesn't mean that you always have to make sure that no Jew ever does another Avera, and if not, you're over the issue of lifnei iver. That's not what lifnei iver means. Lifnei iver means that if you give him something which is offer, and he's going to eat it, or he's going to do something offer with it, then there's a problem of lifnei iver. If you could be telling him that he's going to do something mutter with it, then there's no problem, as long as there's an additional svar of revach u'darkei shalom. But if the object you give him is something mutter, and he's going to do something mutter with it, then there's no problem of lifnei iver if afterwards he decides to go and do something also with it. And therefore you can give money to someone to go and buy himself food, even though he might go and buy non-kosher food, as long as it's possible he might buy kosher food, because the object you gave him is something which is perfectly acceptable. And if we are correct in this, we can answer another very interesting point which the Chazon Ish raises. The Chazon Ish Shavuos Simayud Be'Sikkot Tes raises the point that there's a Mishnah in Maisros Perek Hei Mishnah Gimel which says that you shouldn't sell to an anhoret, or someone who you suspect that he won't keep maishas, once the field has reached the stage when it's chayav maishas, you're not allowed to sell to the anhoret this field, because it's choshed that he's not, we suspect that he's not going to take maishas from the field and eat it without taking maishas from the field. And the same thing when it comes to shmita. If she gives a maishas, you can't sell a field to somebody who's suspected on the halachas of shmita. But if you can't sell it then, you shouldn't be able to sell it a year before either. And it's clear from the Mishnah that it's only when it's, the field has got to the stage where you're chayav maisa, then you're not allowed to sell it to the Amorites. But how can you sell it a year before if you know that he's going to not take maisa when the food grows? So the Chazon Ish there says that Chachomim were, it was given to the decision of the Chachomim to decide when to aser interactions with non-from people and when to permit it, because if we asked every time there's a possibility of lifnei iver, then we would end up not getting on with our neighbours at all, or with other yidden, and we might chas v'shalom come to be over isurim of losisnes achicha b'vavecha or losikim v'lositer, all sorts of other problems benam l'charei which might arise, which are more common than lifnei iver. And therefore Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, decided when it's permitted to do these things, even though he might be over an Issa, and when it's forbidden because of Mifnei Iver. So suggests the Chazon Ish. But according to what we're saying, we have a slightly different approach. As long as, if I give it to him at the time when he's immediately going to do an Issa, then it will be forbidden. That's a problem of Mifnei Iver. If I give him something not kosher and I know he's going to eat it, or I have reason to believe he might eat it, that's a problem of Nifnei Iver. If I give him something which he can use for something which is perfectly mutter, afterwards he might end up going to use it for something which is osa, that's already removed, that's nothing to do with me, that's not my responsibility, and therefore there'll be no problem with Nifnei Iver. And therefore, just as I can sell him a car on Sunday, and I don't have to worry that he might drive it on Shabbos as well, so too I can sell him a field, I can sell him a field a year before the fruit has grown, even though I know that when the fruit has grown, he might not keep Shumas and Maisus. But once the field is a matzah, when it's got to the stage when it's got Shumas and Maisus, then the Mishnah says, I'm not allowed to give it to him. That's a problem of Lifnei Iver. And if we're correct about this, we can even go back to the Pilpul HaRifta, which mentioned earlier, who suggested that there's no Lifnei Iver if the person does the Issa only after a considerable amount of time. We noted that many Poskim disagree with this. L'chore, it could be that the Pul Charifta was coming from the same direction that we are. The Lifnei Iver, it doesn't matter if the Issa comes now or the Issa comes later. The point is that if until then he's not going to do anything wrong, and what I give him now won't necessarily result in an Issa, if afterwards he changes his mind and uses it for something also, then l'chore, that might not be a problem in Lifnei Iver. At any rate, let's come back to our Shaila. Here we have a suspected ganav, and we're leaving out a trap for him in order to try and catch him to see if he's going to steal money in the mikvah. So in our case, the money on the one hand is something which is itself not a dovra osa. It's not as if we're putting a piece of nevela in front of somebody. So there might be reason to say it's comparable to the case of the rifle where we give money to the employee to go and buy his own lunch. He might buy something non-kosher, he might buy something which is kosher, but since the money I give him is itself permissible, and we don't know for sure he's going to do an issue with it, so the ritual, there'll be no problem with Mifnei Iver. Perhaps we could argue here as well. The money itself will be placed in the pocket of the jacket in the mikveh. There's nothing wrong with the money in itself. And the man might steal it, or he might not steal it. In that case, maybe there's no problem with Mifnei Iver. On the other hand, it could be argued that our case is worse, because since I know that he might steal the money, and he probably will steal the money, because I suspect him of being the gunner, in that case, for him, the money, although it's not intrinsically osa, for him is osa. And in that respect, it's a bit like the cup of wine for a nozir. A cup of wine is not intrinsically osa, everyone else can drink it. For a nozir, it's forbidden to put it in front of him if he might forget and drink the wine. So possibly, in the case of the gunner, to put money in front of him is a problem of Lifnei Iver if we suspect that he might well actually steal it. So bearing that in mind, we still haven't yet found a solution. Just to sum up briefly what we've been saying, if the person is kosher, kosher, yidias, cheskes, kashrus, tesis, and conditions, then there's no reason to suspect that he's going to do an avera, there will be no problem if they're ever to give him something which is not kosher. If there is a reason to suspect he might do something osa, but he might do something musa, We nevertheless tell that he's going to use it for heter, just like the Poruch Hareshis and Shviyas, where we tell that he might shift it and therefore be okay. So if we're showing the Gittin, as long as we have an additional factor, that is either the issue of Darkei Shalom, or there's the issue of the person giving it away. He's not giving it away, but rather selling it and making his own profit, that he's allowed to do that and rely on the fact that the other person might not do it either. And then we have this extra swara of the Ritval, that the thing that you give to him is actually something which is intrinsically mutter, and right now he's not going to necessarily do anything also. Even if afterwards he might actually do something also, then it would also be no problem with the effect. But the Chayr always is not going to help us in our situation, when we suspect that this person is going to steal the money, the Chayr should still be also. Now we come on to the connection to our Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein in his Sefer Chashukei Chemed wants to bring a proof from our Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes Zayin that it would be permitted to do so. The Gemara brings a story about a philosopher, a min, says the Rishonim, an irreligious person who, as we shall see, according to some opinions, was actually not Jewish, who claimed he was a judge, and he made out that he was a very fair judge, a very impartial judge who would never take a bribe. But they knew that he was not like that at all, and they wanted to prove it to everybody and demonstrate that this person was really a liar and was willing to take bribes. So they played a joke on him. And Amos Sholem, who was the brother of Rabban Gamliel, went together with Rabban Gamliel for a judgment, for a din Torah, so to speak. And they said that we, brother and sister, have inherited an inheritance, and we want to know who gets it. Does the son get everything, or does the daughter get everything? So the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, Amos Sholem, went and gave him a golden candlestick as a bribe. And then the two of them came in front of him, and he passed him that the rule is that the Yerusha is divided up, the estate is divided up between the brother and the sister equally. Said Rabbi Gamliel, surely the Torah says that a son inherits and not a daughter. Said the judge, that's true, that's what it says in the Torah, but things have changed, times have changed, the laws have changed, and the current law is that you split it half-half. So then Rabbi Gamliel went and gave him a chamor, a particular type of donkey which was quite valuable. And then the next time they came back for another hearing, this time the judge says, I think actually that the law is that if you read the bottom line at the end, punishment law is that really you do actually give it all to the son and nothing to the daughter. At which point, Amos Sholem said to him, your wisdom should light up like a candle, trying, so to speak, to hint to him that I bribed you with a golden candlestick and you promised to rule in my favour. So Gamliel said, the chamor, the donkey, has come and has already kicked away your candlestick. Says Rashi that they were announcing this in front of everybody to show that this person was an irresponsible judge and a thief who took bribes, and to make sure that he would never do it again, and that no one else would ever go to him for a judgment again. Ask of Zilberstein, how are they permitted to give bribes to this person? Even if we assume that he was a goy, then Noach is Mitzvah Sheikhad. A goyish judge is not allowed to take a bribe. It's why, according to many poskim, who hold that the goyim Mukhiv to set up a system of civil justice are not allowed to take bribes from the Torah, and therefore will be forbidden to give a bribe to this non-Jewish judge. So how do they do it? So just like Zilberstein, the reason was because they wanted to make sure that he would never judge again. So although they caused him to be over the issue of taking a bribe this time round, it would save him in the future many times for taking a bribe in the future. Furthermore, it would save everybody else their money from people who would lose money by going to him for a judgment and end up losing falsely because someone else had bribed him. So the suggestion of Zilberstein would be permitted, we would see from this Gemara, to do an Issa of Lifnei Iver and cause someone to do an Aveira if your intention is that in the long term you're prevented from doing the same Aveira many more times and you will save yourself and other people from financial loss. So Zilberstein went to his father-in-law Rabbi Yashiv, Zichron Levracha, and he suggested this proof to Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv immediately responded, there's no proof from our Gemara at all. Why? Because in our Gemara there was no genuine Din Torah. Amos Sholem, Rabbi Gamliel's sister, knew very well that the Yerusha belongs to her brother. She didn't for one moment want to claim the Yerusha against the halachos of the Torah. The whole thing was a setup just to expose this judge as a criminal who takes bribes. So in that case, it wasn't really a din Torah. So the things that they gave him weren't actually genuine bribes. And therefore, there was actually a problem of sheichad. So there was no lifnei iver. And particularly, I would point out that the Marshal says that the Marshal understands in the story that he didn't actually give him the bribes. They just told him they were going to give him the bribes in advance, but they never actually gave it to him. So even more so, there would be no right from Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi, although it's true that the judge thought he was taking a bribe, and we mentioned at the beginning of this year that Tosfos in Kiddushin says that if the person even thinks they're doing an aveira, even if they're not, it's forbidden to cause him to do such a thing, because that would also come under lifnei iver. So Rabbi Yossi, that might only apply to a Jewish person. To a goy, there may be no issue of lifnei iver if he thinks he's doing something wrong, if in fact he's not really doing something wrong. So, in in our case, there would be no raya from our Gemara that we were allowed to put a trap in the mikveh, because in our Gemara, there was really no avera, because since there was no din Torah, and perhaps not even a bribe, and the whole thing was a joke, and it was staged in order to expose the criminal judge, there wasn't actually a bribe, so there was no issue of lifnei iver. Whereas in the case of the mikveh, if he actually takes the money, he would have stolen it. That would be a problem with lifnei iver. And even as we mentioned earlier, if we were to be mochel the money in advance, he thinks he's doing an aveira, and facing his condition, said that would also be a problem of lifnei iver. So at the end of the day, lechori would have no raya. Says of Zilberstein, it might be true that we would be allowed to do it in misfora, even though we don't have a proof for this. He says it's very possible that we'd be allowed to do this and set this trap if the intention is not so much because we want him to do the aveira, but because we want to save ourselves from financial loss. And in a similar vein, we find that if a person comes to person and one claims money of somebody else, even if the other person denies it, Mishchayev Shvuah, you're allowed to make him make a Shvuah, even though you know that he's making a Shvuah Sheker, because you know he's lying and he really does owe you the money. Nonetheless, there's no problem with Nifle, even if it's in Mitchell, if your intention is to save yourself from financial loss. So the resumption, it might be that based on that story, we could allow the trap in the mikvah as well for the same reason. So to sum up our koponim, in the case of the employer who wants to test the employee to see if he's honest, the Sarigiyesh has already passed them, that will be permitted. But since the employee has a cheskos kashus, we have no reason to assume that he is going to steal it, lechora there will be no problem of lifnei iver. However, in the case of a person who is certain that he is a ganav, or almost certainly is a ganav, to lay out a trap for him might possibly be problematic from the point of view of lifnei iver nesitin mitzvah, unless we can say as far that to save ourselves from future financial loss, we'd be allowed to do it, and the fact that he ends up doing an avera is not our cheshbon, that's his problem, aliteh v'rosh v'yomos, and we don't have to be worried about that. So in that case, lechora, if that were correct, it would be permitted, in fact, to set this trap in the mikveh, to trap the ganav, to make sure that he doesn't ever do it again.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.